Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I so appreciate uplifting music. Well, hadn't that been good this morning? Hallelujah. This is Memorial Day weekend, and so we want to recognize what really Memorial Day is all about. And I'm excited about what God's doing in our church during these days. Wednesday nights, we're getting ready for Bible school in the month of June, and our kids are going to be here. And if you haven't got your kid registered, get that child, that grandchild registered today. Go to secondmilechurch.com and just walk through. Real easy to sign them up. But this morning, we want to recognize our veterans, especially those. This is just a quick, short history of Memorial Day. Shortly after the Civil War, we began to recognize those soldiers that had given their lives in honor and service to our country. And finally, in 1971, it became federal law. It's a federal holiday, Memorial Day is, and we recognize all of those soldiers down through the years who have paid the ultimate price so that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country. And we give God all the glory for that. And I did some search, a couple of search engines, and pulled those up this weekend. And we've had anywhere from 1 million to 1.5 million soldiers pay the ultimate price over the years. Isn't that amazing that people would die and give their lives in the service of this country so that we might go free? Oh, hallelujah. And of course, I'm going to talk about the freedom that Jesus gives. But what I'd like for you to do, all of us, I remember there was a neighbor of mine lived right next door who went off to Vietnam. He was 19 years old and he was killed on the battlefield. All of you have been touched by a soldier, someone in the military, either a male or a female, someone who was killed, maybe in battle or in service of our country. And what I'd like us to do right now, just have some prayer, just bow your head and just pray for those families that you know that have been affected by what we're talking about on this Memorial Day weekend. Just pray. Father, we thank you for our military families. Thank you for the sacrifice of millions of soldiers down through the years who've given their lives, literally, so that we might be free. Thank you for them. Thank you for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to say our pledges. All right. If you don't know the pledges, surely by now y'all know the pledge to the American flag. And then we're going to have a pledge to the Christian flag, and we're going to have a pledge to the Bible. You'll see the words on the screen. First of all, the American flag. Attention, salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now to the Christian flag, attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one brotherhood, uniting all Christians in service and love. Now we're going to say the pledge to the Bible. I'm going to hold it up with my left hand. Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Let's give the Lord a great big hand of praise. Okay, guys, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll just head on up.
worry, I'm not going to preach. Bow with me. bow with me in prayer for a moment, please. Father, thank you for this great country that you blessed us with. Lord, I believe that you established this country to be a beacon of hope to the oppressed throughout the world and to be a protector of Israel. And Lord, for those within and without this country that would hinder those efforts, I pray that you would silence their voices. And that the will of Christ would be done in all areas of our government, Lord. And we're all so grateful and so thankful for the men that paid the ultimate price out of love for this country. We love this country too, Lord. We love it because we love you. We know what love is because of you.
Yes, Father.
So be with us now. Be with my brother as he comes to preach this morning. I pray that your Holy Spirit would whisper in his ear, move him as you would have. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint the preaching and teaching of your word. Bless us now in this hour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Billy. He will be preaching here in just a short while. I just kind of wanted to say, I love you and Jesus does too. There is nothing like the family of God. And I want to tell you, there's no one like Jesus. Most of y'all didn't get that. Let me say it one more time. There's no one like Jesus. And we've been singing about him. We're talking about him. We've been praying to him. And now we're going to preach about him. We're going to make much of him this morning. And we are in a new sermon series called The Truth About Truth. And we're digging up great doctrinal truths that, you know, we need to know what we believe. And if we do know what we believe, we need to know why we believe what we believe. And we used to call ourselves and pride ourselves as people of the book. Well, those days have kind of passed us by, and so it's going to be good for us to revisit the truth about truth, some of these major doctrines of the faith. And I'll tell you where all this is coming from. Destination Dig, our vacation Bible school, starting Wednesdays, every Wednesday night in June, our children are going to be digging up truths from the Scripture. And so I thought it would really behoove us on Sundays, before they meet on Wednesdays, to look at the great doctrinal truth that the children are studying about, and we could all together dig. Y'all with me? Okay, so last week we started in on this and we looked at the existence of God, the doctrine of God, and can you prove that God exists, and da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, this morning we're looking at the incarnation. Wednesday, the children are going to be looking at the birth of Jesus. Incarnation is a big Latin word, simply means in the flesh. And so we're talking about the incarnation, the birth of Jesus. And I want to answer the question, is Jesus Son of God or is He Son of Man? Now, there's a lot that goes into that. We're going to unpack that for you in just a minute. But you know, it's so important to know who Jesus is. I want to tell you what, most JWs, y'all know who the JWs are? Yes. Show up on our porch and they can have us turned around in a matter of minutes. We need to know what we believe about Jesus. And here we go this morning. Now, there was a Christian school. This I love this. I ran across this several years ago. And some of this stuff will date me a little bit, but that's okay because I love being dated. All right? I'm just glad to be anywhere today, aren't you? And so there was a fifth grade class that was given an assignment in a Christian school about who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? And all those kids in that fifth grade class got together after school, and here's what they came up with. They said that Jesus is like Bayer aspirin. He works miracles. They said Jesus is like a Ford. He has a better idea. Jesus is like Coca-Cola. He's the real thing. Amen? They said Jesus is like Hallmark. He cares enough to send to his very best. And here, I like this one. He's like Delta Airlines. He's ready when you are. Jesus is like Tide. He gets the stains out that others leave behind. He's like General Electric. He brings good things to life. Amen? And Jesus is like Sears. He has everything. Jesus is like Scotch tape. You can't see him, but you just know he's there. And I love this one. Jesus is like VO5 hairspray. He holds in all kinds of weather. Amen? Jesus is like Alka-Seltzer. Try him and you'll like him. And then Jesus is like American Express. Don't leave home without him. And this is my all-time favorite. Jesus is like Dial soap. Aren't you glad you have him? Don't you wish everyone did? Amen. Well, who does the Bible say that Jesus is? What do the Scriptures say about him? So we're going to dig this morning, and we're going to be in John's Gospel. I'm not going to ask you to stand again, but if you don't say amen every now and then, we are going to stand in the honor of God's Word, okay? So, look at John 1, and I tell you what, Ellen, I may just go ahead and read the first three verses there, because it just, you know, I'm going to be preaching from verse 1 and verse 14, but let's read John 1. 2 and 3 this morning. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I'll give y'all one more chance. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Father, I pray you'd bless the Word now. The written Word and the living Word. You can't separate the two. And so God, give us divine instruction today. Just get me out of the way. Help me to just rightly divide the Word of truth. And God, may the Holy Spirit fall fresh on us here this morning. And may we respond with a hearty yes to what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. John begins to describe someone as the Word. The Word. Three times. Four times. And it's the word logos. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But who is the Word? Who is he talking about? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse 14. And the Word, the logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's he talking about? Yeah, he's talking about Jesus. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so what John is saying is simply this: Jesus is the Son of God. Any good first century Jew that heard that word logos, his mind immediately went back to Genesis 1:1. And it was this word refers to the omniscient, creative, all-powerful God. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God. And that word is plural. Not gods, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created the heavens and the earth. And isn't that exactly what John's saying here in verse 3? If you're looking at it, Jesus made it. And God doesn't make any junk. He created the universe. What an astounding. And what John's doing is he's putting Jesus on par with God. And can I just tell you, there's never been a time when Jesus was not God. Way back before the foundations of the world, before the world was created, Jesus was, is, and always will be God.
Amen.
Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead. And we talked about this Wednesday night. Most of y'all missed it. It was really good. Or maybe they were at the lake online that night. I don't know. But Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. So, what about this statement that Jesus Christ created the universe? Well, I've got so my mind is flooded with scriptures this morning, but he says there in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Turn on over with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Y'all, there's four. Can I say y'all in a sermon? There's four great Christological passages in your New Testament. You just read one of them, John chapter 1. There's another one over in Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at that. And then there's another one in Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to look at that. And then Colossians chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, John chapter 1, and Philippians chapter 2. Those are the four great Christological passages about who Jesus is. I want you to look at this. Look at Colossians 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, the word firstborn there speaks of rank and position, not as He was born first. Okay? He's over all creation. That's what Paul's saying here. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. Jesus is God. And this God created the heavens and the earth. What an amazing statement that is. And then, tell you what, let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. I want you to see this. Philippians 2 and verse 6. Now, y'all, that's just left about three or four pages in your Bible. Philippians 2, verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God? In other words, he's talking there about a prize gained through robbery. And what Paul is saying there in Philippians 2 about Jesus is the fact that in being equal with God, Jesus didn't have to try to attain or work or merit being equal with God. He is coexistent, co-eternal, and co-equal with God in every way. He's the second person of the Godhead. Colossians 2 and verse 9 says that He is the second person of the Godhead in bodily form. If you want to know what Jesus is... Listen, if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God sounds like, listen to Jesus. If you want to know what God's up to, follow Jesus. Jesus is God. He's Son of God. And by the way, there's not multiple gods. There's only one God, but He's in three divine personalities, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is anybody with me? Now, having answered that, has this God spoken? Ooh. Did you know the psalmist said that He whispered and the universe sprang into existence? Let there be light. Boom. I don't know if there was a big bang or not. Maybe there was. But God, when Jesus is greater than E.F. Hutton. Whenever He speaks, everything listens. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Has this God spoken? Woo! We're in tall cotton this morning. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus is the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 1. When you get to verse 1, say amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express, and here's that word again, image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Somebody shout glory to God. This God has spoken. You see, Jesus is not God's best word to humanity. He is God's last word to humanity. This God has, the word image here, He is the image of the invisible God. You can't see God, but Jesus is God, and He came in the flesh 2,000 years ago so that we might know what God's like. And that word image, you know what that word is. It's the word icon. How many of y'all got a computer, laptop, tablet, and on your phone? You know those little icons? You click on those things, you click on an icon, and you get everything that's available in that icon. Y'all heard me say this before. If you'll just click on Jesus, you'll get everything that's available in God.com. Well, some of y'all got that and some of you didn't. What he's saying, in what John's telling us, the Logos, he was before the beginning. He is, he has been, he always will be. He's always been God from eternity past until eternity present. Jesus is God. And I love what Philippians 2:9 says. He is the second person of the Godhood. In bodily form. And so Jesus is God. Tell somebody, Jesus is God. Now here's the second truth I want us to wrap our hearts around. And by the way, when the JWs show up at your porch, just start talking about John chapter 1. And they'll get off your front porch real quick. Because they don't believe that Jesus... Some of them will tell you, oh yeah, we believe Jesus is the Son of God, but He's not God. Wrong. He is God. He has always been God. So, I've given y'all some ammunition. You don't have to sit there and go, I don't know. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's not true. No. He is God. All right. You see why we need to know what we believe? And why we believe what we believe? Are you getting this? All right. Here's the second thing. Look at verse 14. And the Logos, the Word, that great omniscient, creative, all-powerful, ever-present, from the eternity past till now, has became flesh. Now that's the Latin word incarnation. That's talking here about the birth of the Lord Jesus and dwelt among us. And John says, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus is not only Son of God, He is Son of Man. The word Son of Man it was the Lord's favorite title for Himself. He loved to call Himself Son of Man. Now, that title is used 88 times in your New Testament. It's used 78 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And guess who used it? Jesus did. 78 times. That was His favorite title for Himself, Son of Man. So, Pastor, where did that come from? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. If you don't know where Daniel is, just let Ellen do the walking. Ezekiel, Daniel. You know what? Well, I was thinking, you know, Bible school's coming up and be a good time to do Bible drill. Yeah. Look at Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14. Now, this is a prophecy. This is a prediction about the Son of Man. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him, and then to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. And so that is a prophecy, a prediction of Daniel hundreds of years before he showed up about the coming Jewish Messiah and Gentile Savior. Son of Man. Do you remember when Jesus had been arrested on some trumped up charges and He's being interrogated by the high priest? Do you remember what the high priest asked Him? Are you the Christ, the Son of God? And you You remember what Jesus' response was? Mark 14:62? Yes, I am. You shall see the Son of Man coming in power and glory with the heavenly angels. In other words, Jesus was saying, you got it. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of Man. I am the one that the prophets pointed to and spoke about. I am the Messiah. You know, there's never been anyone quite like Jesus. He was fully God, but he's also fully man. Completely God, completely man. He wasn't half God and all man. He wasn't all God and no man. He was all God and all man. Do you understand all that? No. But I get it. He was all God and all man. And he is the one everyone's been looking for. And by the way, people are still looking for him today. And I hope and pray you find him before you get up out of here this morning. Hallelujah. Now, as creator, now this God-man thing, I mean, two natures, one person, Son of God, Son of Man, deity, humanity, all wrapped up in Jesus. He spilled himself out in human flesh so that we could get to know God on a personal level. Not some faraway detached God, up close and personal. And this guy, as God, he's the creator. We just learned that, right? But as man, he became a part of creation. As God, he'll never leave you and forsake you. But as man, he got lonely from time to time. As God, he's faithful and true. But as man, he was falsely accused. As God, he's worthy to be worshipped. But as man, he went to the temple to worship. As God, he's Alpha and he is Omega. But as man, he was born in a stable and laid in a manger. He is the God-man. And there's never been anyone like him. Glory to his name. Go ahead and give him praise. I want to tell you what, when the Baptist church gets happy in Jesus, it gets heaven's attention. Now, just think about this with me. Humanity, Son of Man. Jesus, how many of y'all been to a wedding already this summer or this spring? Oh my goodness. I've got to go to another one this weekend. I've got to perform, I've got to do one. There's nothing more human than going to a wedding, right? Jesus showed up at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the host ran out of wine. Big mistake. Huge embarrassment. Major flaw, okay? Embarrassed. But what did Jesus do? He turned the water into wine. You one night, Jesus is fast asleep in the bottom of the boat. They're trying to sail across the Sea of Galilee. And this violent storm comes up quick. So much so that those fishermen, his disciples, were scared they were going to drown. And Jesus got up from a deep sleep and looked at the storm and basically said in English language, shut up. That's what the Greek says. And the waves and the wind subsided. And do you remember what the disciples said? What kind of man is this? Well, I'll tell you what kind of man he is. He's the God man. Never been anyone like him. Hallelujah. Now, this is, we need to go back over to Philippians, okay? I know I'm working y'all out this morning, but that's okay. Y'all like to work. Nobody said amen. Where is our work ethic today, huh? Philippians chapter 2, listen to this description here. Verse 7, Philippians 2 verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Woo! That phrase there, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, Jesus left heaven as God and came to earth and was born as a man, as a human being, and lived for 33 and a half years. But when Jesus was born, you need to understand this. He laid aside, he didn't empty himself of his deity, because from time to time we got a glimpse of the glory, amen? I mean, we did. But he laid aside his deity. And because if anybody had, you couldn't approach the deity of Christ, the Shekinah glory of God. No one could approach that and live. Y'all with me? And so you remember John said in chapter 1, verse 14, he says, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What's he talking about? Do you remember when James and Peter and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw the glorified Christ? And old John never got over it. Neither did Peter. He wrote about it. They beheld his glory in that particular time. And so from time to time, we got glimpses of the glory in Christ, the divinity. But he had to lay that garment of glory to the side, so to speak. And he picked up the robe of humility. He came as a bondservant, a slave. And you know, Jesus said, I came not to serve, but to, not to be served, but to serve. And Jesus served harlots. What would y'all do if y'all saw me out on New Providence Boulevard talking to the prostitutes? Well, that's what Jesus did. He served the harlots. He served the prostitutes. He served the down and out, the lepers. He served the sick and the suffering. He served everyone. He even served his disciples. And because he became a man and he became a servant, he understands about sorrow. Whitney, he gets it. He understands about joy. He understands about temptation. Hello. He understands about victory. He understands you because he's been there and done that. How so? Because he became a man. Y'all, this is such deep stuff, but I hope you get it. He became a man in order to experience everything that we go through. And if you're here today and you're going through something, Jesus knows all about it. And he gets it. He understands. He's been there and done that. Whew. I've got so much more I wanted to say, but I need to wrap. You know, sometimes Brother Cal has a real problem landing this plane that we're up in. Turn with me to John chapter 20. Or maybe it's 21. I'll find it here. Yeah, John chapter 20. Now, this is after the resurrection, right before Jesus ascended back to heaven. And on, you know, Jesus rose from the grave what day? On what day? Did y'all say Thursday or the third day? He rose on Sunday. Okay? And then he appeared to most of the disciples on Sunday at Sunday night church. And guess who wasn't there? Thomas missed Sunday night church. Say, uh-oh. And bad things happen when you miss Sunday night church. He missed Jesus. And they went and told him, the disciples said, oh man, you missed it. The Lord is alive. And Thomas said, how do you know he's alive? And they told him. And he said, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I can put my finger in his nail prints and put my hand in his side. Well, guess what happened 8 days later on Sunday night church? Thomas was there, and there's the Lord. Are y'all ready for this? Somebody's going to get this here in just a minute. Verse 27, John 20. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. That is the response of everyone who believes. And He demands our total allegiance as Lord and God. And you see, He can't be Savior unless you're willing to give allegiance to His Lordship and His Godhead. He wants to be the Lord and the God of your life. And if some preacher sold you a bill of goods and just said, come on down front and shake the preacher's hand and just give your life to Jesus. Can I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters? When you come to Jesus, you come to Him as Lord of your life. I don't believe in this. I'll take a little saviorhood, but I don't want any lordship, no. Now, I realize there's maturing and growth and spiritual development as you move through and other areas in your life get bigger and better and He has better lordship. But if you're not willing to ask Him to be the Lord of your life, you need to get saved this morning. That's the truth. Because Romans chapter 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, then He'll become your Savior. Hallelujah. And so there's the bottom line for us this morning. The God-man is alive and well. There's a glorified man on the throne in heaven. And do you know what He's doing? He is praying for you. He's praying for all of you. And even those of you that are over here on the right, He's praying for y'all. Amen. He's praying for all of us. And He's asking for our total allegiance as Lord and God of our lives. He brought you here today so that you might do that. Because anything less means you're on the wrong path. Let's pray. Father, none of us are worthy. None of us can live up to this name called believer, follower of Christ, Christian. We can't live it, but Jesus said that He can. And so we surrender to You as Lord of our lives. Thank You for leaving the splendor and the majesty and the glory of heaven and coming to earth as a little baby boy, the virgin-born Son of Mary. Thank You for living a perfect, sinless life so that You could become the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And Your shed blood paves the way to heaven. There is no other way. So God, this morning, I believe there's multiple people here that need the Lord Jesus. Some need Him for salvation. Others need Him for sanctification. Others need Him for issues like sickness and suffering, and sorrow. And whatever the need is, Jesus can meet that need because He is fully God and fully man. So whatever the needs are here today, oh God, help us to turn to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to be absolutely clear with you. Nobody's looking around. Every head's bowed, every eye closed. If you'd be willing today to turn from your sin, to make a spiritual U-turn, and be so sorry for your sin that you're willing to surrender your heart and life to Christ through faith and repentance, you can walk out of here born again, saved, a believer in Christ Jesus. But I can't make that decision for you. You have to do that. And if you'd be willing to pray, I'd be glad to pray with you. Or you can pray right there where you sit. Then you need to take your stand publicly for Christ. We call that believer's baptism. If you just come and share with me what you've done today, We've got counselors here that are available. You just do what you need to do. Father, give us the courage now. A lot of different folks need Jesus right now. And I pray that you would meet those needs. Most of all, meet that salvation need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.